We're talking with several members of the Electroacoustic Ensemble here gathered at WUOT. They'll be performing at the UT Music Building Friday night, November the 18th at 6 p.m. I assume this is free?
Yes.
Yeah, liberate the music. So tell me, how did this group form? What was the genesis of its existence?
Maybe I'll start. This group started from one of the classes I was teaching related to sound synthesis. We started just playing around with instruments and programming our own, and then we performed some of the projects that people started developing throughout the class, throughout the semester, and that was only a year ago. And then we put together a performance, and I had done something like this in the Netherlands when I lived there, and I thought that this would be a perfect environment, and I think it is. It's exceeding my expectations, so that's how it started.
Can you explain the meaning of the name or the origin of the name Electroacoustic Ensemble?
Well, electroacoustic music is a, I guess you could say, genre of music that combines electronic instruments and acoustic instruments. It originally originated with people recording on, like, magnetic tapes back in, I don't know, as early as the 50s, right?
Late 50s, early 60s.
And it's kind of just grown from there. Now it's live electronics instead of pre-recorded. Often it can go either way. And so in our version of this, we're doing a lot of live electronic improvisations along with acoustic instruments.
Sometimes we're given samples and we can edit them and modulate them and run them through different effects prior to rehearsal. Sometimes we're doing things as we're performing. Sometimes we have our members who play acoustic instruments playing into microphones and then playing that through like feedback loops and different plugins and things. So it's a very
fluid.
Sure.
So it evolves as people listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So how do you assemble a group like this? Do you go put up flyers looking for electroacoustic musicians? Is it part of the class?
I actually heard about it through word of mouth. A member referred me to the group when he found out that I was working with a few of my friends producing music, and I have an electronic setup that I use, and he saw that, and he suggested that I could come join this ensemble that was starting to coalesce about halfway through last year. And so I got on board with it like that. I'm not sure how the other members
The other way it happened was we did, in fact, create a flyer for around the music building. We went old school, paper and tack. And a lot of the members were previous members of the class that Dr. Verrigo was talking about. And then we've added a couple more as interest has grown. And then from there, just from the first performance that we did last year, it's grown more interest. More people are wanting to do it because it's kind of a fusion of jazz improv with just natural improv, non-idiomatic music. So it drew a lot of interest from people who were like, okay, this could be cool.
Yeah, I think several people were able to see the first performance, or at least the first one that I was aware of, which was at the UT Contemporary Music Festival in 2015. And I remember seeing that and being like, how am I not in this? This is, like, incredible. So I joined as soon as I could after that.
Who names the pieces of music?
I think that they have very binary names. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever heard of the name of one of the pieces. When I heard about the group through word of mouth, one of the instructors at UT started talking to me. I'm kind of the odd man out being an art student, but he started talking to me about my interests in art and what kind of vision I had for my future as an artist, and recommended I work with Dr. Verrigo. The fusion of like technology, art, music, and working with other disciplines. So another student recommended I join the group, and it's been a tremendous experience. It's been amazing.
So what do you do actually yourself in the ensemble?
what I do is I come to the sessions and present what I've been working on that week. It's a combination of a programming language that analyzes music or sound and translates it into another programming language that translate it into visuals. So as they're performing, I'm reacting to what they're doing.
How important is a visual component to this kind of work, and how do you think it works?
I think it's a lot more visually stimulating than watching a bunch of members stand around looking at their instruments the entire time, which, like, not saying we're, like, nothing to look at, but it's interesting to see some, you know, dynamic and some motion that you can look at, as well as being immersed in the environment of the sound that we're creating. It pushes us towards having a more multisensorial experience for people, and I think that can bring out the best of both the visual aspect and the audio aspect.
The Electroacoustic Ensemble of the University of Tennessee performing at 6 p.m. in the Natalie Haslam Music Building Friday, November the 18th. That is tomorrow. Hey, please introduce yourselves, by the way.
My name is Elise Stevens. I'm a returning student. I'm a senior in 4D Art.
I'm Alex Gray. I'm a junior composition and musicology student.
I'm Gurudev Ball. I'm a junior. I'm studying computer science and physics.
I'm Brandon Harden. I'm a fifth-year senior studying music theory composition.
And I am Jorge Variego, and I am the founder, director, but I'm more the facilitator of this group, right?
What are some of the reactions you've gotten at your performances? And feel free to include a negative or as well as a positive. Or
oh, my, what is this stuff? Please take this off the radio.
Yeah. Fortunately, we don't get that kind of feedback until we finish playing it.
We actually did a set on WBIR several weeks ago now, and the reactions were very interesting. Some were like, okay, this is weird, and some were, why were you covering this?
Like, harsh.
Yeah.
But it's all worth it, because I think for us, we're after the reaction, whether positive or negative, because that's what feeds our music.
We just want a reaction.
Yeah.
And that's the point of art, right? To elicit a new thought, maybe a new perspective.
Yeah. From my perspective, maybe because I'm a little older than you, I was really amazed that in the last show that you were at the Emporium downtown, someone came after the performance and asked me, so who's the composer of that piece? And I was, so this is working. because I didn't say anything. I didn't want to reveal. I didn't want to show the hand, you know, there. I want to keep the magic going. So this is a piece that we all composed in this very moment. So I think that those moments are the ones that make this unique. And of course, there are people that don't connect with live or more free improvisation setting, but that's fine. That's good.
There's a certain kind of like enigmatic presentation that elicits curiosity in some folks, and I think that's a very valuable feedback.
Yeah,
I suppose.
And I think that the fact that everyone in the group, everyone is really committed at that very moment. So that you, no matter what you do, you perceive it. As an audience member, if everyone is really doing their best in that moment and contributing to the group and to the sound that we are creating, I think that's heard, that's perceived, that's felt. So I think that is one of the things that we are starting to generate.
For Changing Course and Improvisations, I'm Todd Steed here at WUOT. For more information on our programming, visit our website, wuot.org.